this week's edition of Radio Theatre, we present Dead on Time, written by Miles McMahon. It stars Dennis Smith, Marjorie Gordon, Michael Mayer, Diane Appleby, and Bruce Anderson. It was adapted and produced for radio by Michael Silver, and originally broadcast on Springbok Radio in 1971.
Heavy snow has fallen in all areas, especially north of the border. And that's the end of the 3:30 news summary. We return you now to the program of carols to which you've been listening.
Merry Christmas. Carols. Oh, can't get them. Too damn dreary.
Lydia. What are you doing here?
Well, I've come to spend Christmas, darling. Do you mind?
Mind?
London's so dreary, so I said to myself, why not spend Christmas with the old man? Happy New Year.
You're drunk.
What observation. Drunk indeed, my lord and master. How on?
You've had enough for two. Look, what do you want?
To spend the festive season with my he-man of a husband.
I think you'd better go.
Go? My dear child, try to understand. This is my home, remember? You designed it for me. The great architect Simon Holt designed the superb example of modern architecture and gave it to his own dear little Lydia on their wedding day.
I never did like the place. You made that abundantly clear in the past. So may I ask why you choose to come here?
I'm spending Christmas with you, darling.
It so happens that I've invited Uncle Chris and Aunt Amelia to do exactly the same thing.
My, it's going to be cozy, all of us here together. Who else is coming?
What do you mean?
Don't hedge with me, darling. I know you too well. I don't suppose my little sister Lois would be trotting along to spend the festive season with you, would she?
Leave Lois out of this.
I see, I'm right. Another drink? Yes, I don't mind if I do.
There's no reason why she shouldn't come, is
there? Oh, none in the least. Well, where would you like her to bed, darling? Close to you, darling?
I've told you before not to judge other people's moral standards by the ones you use.
Oh, how high-minded we are.
Pity you couldn't have been more like Lois. Then our marriage mightn't have been on the rocks.
Does she know why it's on the rocks? I see she doesn't. What yarn have you been spinning her about me? Oh, so don't tell me. Let me guess. Lydia should never have married. She can't settle down. She's too fond of the bright lights. She likes a gay time and men.
Well, that at least would be no more than the truth.
Ah, but not quite the whole truth. Perhaps I ought to tell her my side of it, just to even matters up. After all, you wouldn't want her to know the reason we parted.
That's enough.
That my husband wants me to...
Oh,
always the perfect gentleman, aren't you, Simon? You know, that's what attracted me to you in the first place. Did I ever tell you that? I was lonely and romantic, and then I met you. At last, I thought, what I've always wanted, a perfect gentleman, famous, intelligent, charming in a quiet way. Just the man for me. Man. You fooled me, all right.
I warned you.
Oh, no, don't threaten me, darling. What would you ever say?
I told you to keep your filthy tongue away from her.
She is my sister, you know. Have you forgotten?
Oh, I wish I could. So does she. Lydia, don't push me too far.
You're a milksop. A spineless, weak-kneed milksop. That is no good. I'm staying. So you'll just have to put up with me.
Oh, Lydia, haven't we had about enough of this?
Are you going to start preaching to me about my drinking again?
We've been married for 5 years, and it hasn't worked out, has it? What I'm saying is, it seems to me it's time we called a halt.
What are you suggesting? A divorce?
Listen to me. I don't want to talk about myself, but this is one time I have to. You were right about Lois. I love her. I want to make her my wife.
Oh, how romantic.
Oh, look, surely we can come to some arrangement.
What a stupid, sentimental fool you are. You've made your bed, and you're going to damn well lie on it with me, your wife.
I see. In that case, I shall have to divorce you.
I shouldn't be too hasty with that idea if I were you. It might seem rather callous and circumstances. You see, I'm going to have a baby. You're going to be a father, darling. Congratulations. Well, what are you going to do about it?
To about?
Oh, don't damn well keep repeating everything I say like a half-wit. I've always wanted a child, and that's something you haven't been able to provide. Well, now we've got one, whether you like it or not. And you're going to keep it, because it's yours.
Mine?
Yeah, legally, anyway. Take your choice, darling. It's that, or goodbye to your little inamorata, or love.
You...
Oh. Yeah. You're well matched, the pair of you.
Shut up.
She's a charter.
Shut up.
You're only half a man. Let me go. You fool. What are you doing with that cushion? Put it. Don't no, stop. No. Stop.
Shut up. Lydia, answer me. Stop bullying. Get up. Lydia, answer me. Answer me. No. What have I done? What have I done?
Don't come in.
Don't come any closer.
What is it?
Stay where you are.
Simon, this is me, Lois.
Get out of here. Go away. Go away, please, now.
What's wrong?
Please do as I say. Go away.
Oh, no. It's Lydia.
It's a bit of luck meeting you, Mr. Manders. Otherwise, we'd have had to put it all away. It's at least 2 miles from the station.
Oh, the place is all mine.
Where's Simon got to, I wonder? He was supposed to be at the station to meet us.
Certainly our good fortune to be picked up by this young man in his car.
No, it was nothing. I couldn't very well have let you struggle through the snow on your own.
Funny, we should all have been coming to the same place. Simon didn't tell me he'd invited anyone else.
Simon?
Yes, Simon Holt is my nephew. He's your host, eh?
There seems to be a bit of a mix-up somewhere. I was invited by Lydia.
You say that Lydia invited you? May I ask, was it a sudden invitation?
You could call it that. We were having lunch together, and she said, how about driving up to Scotland and spending Christmas there? I must admit, I jumped at the chance of spending a few days out of London.
And you work there?
Freelance for a paper syndicate in Canada. Oh. I've been based in London for the past year.
Oh, you must lead an exciting life.
I wouldn't say that, Mrs. Holt.
Miss, I'm afraid I've always been the bridesmaid, never the bride.
All right, I beg your pardon.
Well, I'm the one you should be sorry for.
My brother means that he's had to suffer instead of my husband. I've kept house for him all over the world while he's been busy sawing poor, defenseless people in half.
Are you a magician, sir?
The magic is that any of his patients ever lived to tell the tale.
Oh, I get it. You're a doctor.
To be exact, a surgeon. Retired now.
When he retired, the mortality rate dropped several points.
Oh, thank you.
You married, Mr. Manders?
Happily, thank you, Miss Holt.
Children?
A boy and a girl. I don't see much in them, of course,
but
that's the nature of my profession.
They're in Canada.
My wife doesn't like chopping and changing. Prefers to stay put.
Well, it must make things difficult occasionally, shouldn't it?
Well, it does, but we get along all right so far.
That's good. Oh, you've arrived.
Oh, Simon, at last. Where have you been? We expected you to be at the station.
Oh, did you? I thought you were coming by car.
I said quite clearly on the phone that we'd be arriving by train.
I'm sorry, Aunt Amelia. Must have slipped my mind.
This young man has very kindly offered to give us a lift. Oh. He turned out to be coming here himself. Apparently Lydia invited him.
Lydia?
You don't know.
Look, I guess I must apologize for barging in like this. I'll be on my way.
No, don't go.
No, of course not. I'm sorry.
Stuart Manders.
How do you do? Look, make yourself comfortable, Mr. Manders. Won't you have a drink?
Oh, thanks. Scotch, please.
Oh, fine. Amelia, Uncle Chris?
Sherry for me, please. Whiskey for your uncle.
Yes, I'll have a whiskey.
Now, what time is Lois coming?
Lois? She should have been on your train.
Well, if she was, we missed her.
May I ask who Lois is?
Funny you should know Lydia and not know Lois is Lydia's sister. Oh, well, half-sister, really. Her mother married twice.
Lydia never mentioned she had a sister.
I'm surprised she mentioned she had a husband. Simon, where do we sleep?
Well, you and Uncle Chris can have your usual rooms on the right of the corridor, of course. Mr. Manders can have the long room opposite.
What about Lois and Lydia?
Lois can have my room.
Lydia, no doubt, will make her own sleeping arrangements when she gets here. Come along, Mr. Manders. I'll show you the way. Right. Come along, Chris.
Yes, right.
I don't know if I should. Look, I really think I'd best go.
No, nonsense. No, no. We're for you to go. No, if Lydia doesn't turn up, then you must remain as my guest.
Okay, have it your way.
I couldn't wait. I used my key. They've arrived?
Including a Mr. Manders. He's a friend of Lydia's. Apparently she invited him. They've gone to brush up. Look, we haven't much time, so quickly now.
I need a drink.
All right, I'll get it. No, you sit down. Tell me.
Well, the old taxi driver didn't suspect anything. He picked me up after you shouted, "Goodbye, Lydia," and he drove off.
Here's your drink. Did he talk to you?
Over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
That was a short visit, Mrs. Holt. I thought you were stopping for Christmas. I just pretended to be very drunk and muttered, "No."
Good.
Then I sank back into the corner seat, and we drove the rest of the way to the station in silence. It was awful, just sitting there in the dark, all dressed up in Lydia's outdoor things.
What happened at the station?
He shouted, "You'll have to hurry if you're going to catch the London train, missus." I didn't answer. I just grabbed my case and got out.
Thank heavens I paid him beforehand.
I went straight onto the platform.
Mm-hmm.
The train was already in. I barely caught it. When we got to the next station up the line, I got out, like we'd arranged,
mm-hmm.
went straight to the ladies' room and changed into my own clothes. I put Lydia's things back in her bag, and then I waited.
Right.
I heard the train pull out. Then, after what seemed ages, I heard the train pull in on the far platform. I came out, crossed over the bridge, and arrived back at the station here.
Which train was it?
The same one your uncle and aunt were on.
They didn't see you?
No. No, I made sure of that. Oh, Simon, I hope it works. What about Manders?
Manders? He gave Uncle Chris and Amelia a lift. I had to ask him to stay. I mean, if I'd insisted on his going, he might have been suspicious later on when they find her.
What about her?
Well, that station you got out at, it's only 5 miles up the line. She'll be found in a snowdrift. Dead from exposure.
Oh.
They'll think she got out of the train in a drunken stupor, wandered in a daze, and then fell down. What marks there are should support that. Well, that's all they can prove.
What have you done with her?
I had to find a place quickly, a place that wouldn't be stumbled on and where I could get at her when the time came. I couldn't bury her or hide her in the house, so I...
Oh, Lois! So you finally arrived. Did you have a nice journey down?
Hello, Amelia. Uncle Chris?
Oh, you look tired. You've been overdoing it, I suppose.
I presume your daily has taken herself off, Simon.
Yes. Oh, we can manage, can't we?
Heavens, yes. Poor woman, she's entitled to her rest, same as anyone else. Well, Amelia Bolt, hey-ho for the kitchen.
I'll come and help.
No need, my dear. You'll be tired after your journey.
Simon, where am I sleeping? I'll just unpack my things.
Take my room, and I'll move my things into the study.
I won't be long.
Aunt Amelia, would you like me to come and show you where things are?
Stay where you are and entertain your uncle.
Right.
I'll forage about for myself.
I don't know what I've done without her all these years, you know.
Oh.
Here comes Mr. Manders. You look jolly cold. Have you been out of the snow?
No, not me. Could do with a drink, though.
Everything okay? Whiskey?
Yeah, it couldn't be better. Was that Lydia who arrived?
Lydia? No, as a matter of fact, it was Lois.
Oh, thanks. Well, I've made up my mind. I'm staying, that is, with your consent, Mr. Holt.
No, call me Simon. No, you're welcome. Yes. Sit down, won't you?
Thanks. You sat on something. Hello, what's this? It's a compact.
Compact?
Yeah, initialed on the lid. Looks like an L. How about that, then? That's Lydia's initial. Come to think of it, I'm sure I've seen it with a compact just like this one.
You probably left it here some time ago.
Yes, that's it. Yes.
No, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, the more I look at this, the more sure I am that I've seen her with it in the last week or so.
Well, I'm sure it's Lydia's compact.
Yeah.
What's that?
Mr. Manders has found a compact, Lois. He thinks it's Lydia's.
May I see? Oh, thank you, Mr. Manders. It must have dropped out of my handbag when I was talking to Simon earlier.
It's yours?
Yes, of course. Look at the initial. L for Lois.
So much for your powers of observation, Mr. Manders.
I could have sworn. Still, never contradict a lady, I always say.
I know you're all starving. You'll just have to be patient, that's all. I could do with a drink, Chris. What's the weather doing, eh? Still snowing?
Just draw the curtains and make it more cozy.
What?
Well, there's someone out there.
What?
There couldn't be. I tell you, there is. Just standing there.
Yeah, let me have a look.
No, wait. It may be a prowler.
Huh? Manders? Where else you get that gun?
Never move without it. Now stand clear. I'm going to draw the curtains. Oh. Here goes. There's nothing there.
Nothing? Are you sure?
Amelia, my dear. What you saw was your own image reflected in the glass.
You think so? Well, it didn't seem like that somehow.
What did it seem like?
I don't quite know. A woman, I think. It was a young woman. I'm sure it was.
Oh, nonsense.
Oh, I'm going to faint.
Lewis.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it must have been the shot.
Yeah, that was it.
Yes. It must have been the shot.
Fine cigar to round off a good meal. I must compliment you, Amelia. That turkey was quite out of this world.
That's the way I feel right now. I think I'll have a short rest before tea.
Well, you deserve a break. Today you really excelled yourself.
Oh, thanks, Chris. I'm glad Lois offered to do the washing up. She's a sweet girl.
Yeah, she makes some man a good wife.
Mm, yes. Where's Simon, by the way?
He's in the study. Not his usual self. He seems out of sorts. Anything, sir?
Yes, I've noticed. But so would you if you had Lydia for a wife. And Lydia's boyfriend is a guest.
Mm, you've got a point. What the blazes?
That sounded like a gun.
It was.
What was that?
I heard a shot.
Sounded as if it came from in here.
No, no, it's in the garden. Maybe it's a poacher after rabbits or
something. Christmas Day? No. No, besides, it wasn't a rifle shot. It sounded more like a... Look, in the garden.
Good heavens. It's Manders. Now, what the devil's he...
He's firing it.
Looks as if he's set up a target on that snowdrift over there.
What?
The snowdrift. What's got into Simon?
Nothing. It's just that he has a thing about guns.
Oh, well, he's no need to worry. I'm sure the boy's a good shot.
Look at Simon. He's simply furious.
Good heavens. I never thought a small thing like that would have upset him so much.
Well, I'm not waiting to hear the rights and wrongs of it. I'm going to snatch 40 winks before tea time.
I'll make the tea if you like.
Oh, thank you. Will you? You are a sweetie.
Simon looks like thunder.
So it might have hit someone.
I think he's kind of so lucky that Simon didn't hit him.
Hitting the Canadian backwards, you know.
Sure, I know. I should have realized. Well, I guess I didn't. I just felt like blasting away at something, so I did.
Well, next time I'd advise you to be more careful before you start blasting away, as you call it. One of those bullets might have hit someone.
I'm a good shot. I was aiming at the snowdrift. It's clear of the house.
You hit it, too.
Let's drop the subject, shall we?
Yeah, okay, let's do that. Anybody lost this? I found it in the snow a while back.
What is it?
It's the St. Christopher medal. I keep travelers safe, you know.
Not me. You, son?
No. No, it's not mine. It must belong to one of the children from the village.
Yeah, may I see?
You recognize it, sir?
What's that? No. No, no, no. Yeah, you better keep it.
Yeah, I guess I will. It'll keep me from coming to a bad end.
Well, it might at that. Well, I think I'll stretch my legs. Care to accompany me?
What are we waiting for?
Well, I'll get my coat. I'll see you first later on. Yeah.
Feeling baboon, poking about here, there, everywhere.
Simon, don't. He didn't mean anything by it.
Didn't he? That's where you're wrong. He's onto something.
Oh, you're imagining things. He couldn't possibly know anything.
No, he doesn't. Not yet. But he senses something's wrong. It's in his whole attitude. We've got to get rid of him. We've got to get him out of here.
But how? You can't just tell him to get out like that.
Listen, if Lydia phoned him, that'd do the trick.
Yes, but Simon, she can't.
No. No, she can't, but you could. Lois, darling, you've got to do it.
Oh, no. Not again. That would be too horrible. I couldn't. Besides, you'd be sure to see through it.
No, you wouldn't. No, no. Your voices are nearly alike. Oh, look, they would be on the phone. Lois, please, it's the only way. Darling, I should never have dragged you into this. But now you're in, you must cooperate if we're ever going to get out of it. It's not only me now. It's us. Darling, you know I wouldn't ask you except that I love you.
Yes, I know. Tell me what I have to do.
Wait. Can you see them?
Yes. They're just outside, walking in the garden. What are you going to...
Hello? I wonder if you'd mind giving me an alarm call in about, say, 10 minutes. I want to get rid of some people. You know how it is. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
But what are you going to...
Look, what you've got to do is this. When they pass the window, call them in for tea. I'll remain here on the couch in easy reach of the phone. Then when it rings, I'll answer it.
What am I to do?
Stay in this room until the phone rings. There must be no suspicion of trickery in Manders' mind. When it rings, say that you'll make the tea, slip into the kitchen and through the connecting door to the study. In the study, you'll find an extension to this phone.
Won't it ring also?
No, it's got a bulb that flashes instead of ringing. Now, when the light goes out, you'll know that I've answered this phone. Now, listen very carefully. Pick up the extension. Don't say anything, just listen. I'll deal with the operator. Then I'll tell Stuart it's Lydia, for him. Now, when he comes on the line, you'll talk to him. Pretend to be Lydia, drunk, very drunk. Ask him to pick you up at the station. Say you've been stranded all night.
The station? But why there?
Well, don't you see? When they find her, he'll think she meant the next station up the line and that he made a mistake. While he's away, it'll give me the time I need to get her out of the snowdrift. As soon as you've told him to meet you at the station, cut yourself off before he has a chance to ask any questions. Come back here as fast as you can with the teacups. Have you got it?
Yes. They're coming in.
Right, all set.
Stop it there, but anyway, skiing is a national pastime back home, sir. Mm. Oh, yep, everyone goes in for it, old and young.
Yes, sir, I gather. Oh, hello, you two. Nice. It's freezing out there.
Enjoy your walk?
Not half as much as I'm going to enjoy my rest.
I'd better call the office, find out if they want me for anything. You, mind if I use your phone, Simon?
No, not at all.
I thought you were supposed to be on holidays, Stu. Why not let them phone you?
True enough. Besides, they know where I am if they need me.
I'll put the kettle on in a moment and make some tea.
Yes, I'll take a cup into Amelia when it's ready.
You know, what gets me is why Lydia never phoned. She knew I was coming here. The least she might have done was to call me to say she changed her mind. If she had changed her mind.
Had changed her mind?
I'd like her to leave me out on a limb like this. Thoughtless, she may be, but she's never done a thing like this before.
Perhaps you don't know her quite as well as you imagine.
Oh, I know she's your wife and all that, and I dare say you know her inside out. Still, I just can't help feeling she'd have called me to let me know where she was.
Yes! Better answer it, I suppose. It might be Lydia.
I'll make the tea.
Hello? Yes, this is 27543. Oh, thank you, yes. Yes, I will.
It's Lydia. They're putting her through.
Yes, Simon speaking. Hello, Lydia. What kept you? What? Speak up, I can hardly make out what you're saying. Yes, he's here, yes. Arrived last night. I'll put him on, shall I?
She says she tried to ring before, she hasn't been able to get through. Hmm? Look, I warn you, she's very drunk. I can hardly make out what she's saying.
Hmm. Hello? That really you, Lydia? Who'd I think it was? I certainly didn't expect this. I mean, where are you calling from? Yes, I do want to know, otherwise I wouldn't ask you, would I? Huh? What? What? Hello?
Been cut off.
Yeah, damn it. Hello?
Well, where is she?
Wouldn't I like to know? We got cut off before I had the chance to find out. How do you like that? Now we're just as far off knowing anything as before.
Look, it didn't sound like a long-distance call to me. I wonder if she might have been ringing from the station.
Hmm?
Did she say anything about wanting to be picked up?
No, not a word. You think she might be?
Well, it's worth a try, I should say. Up to you.
Well, perhaps I will slip down there and see.
Gee, let me help her out. I'll put the milk in, shall I? Now, look out, my dear. You're spilling it. Here, let me have the teapot. Your hand is shaking. It's too heavy for you.
No, it's just a...
Well, anything wrong? You look all hot and bothered.
I'm all right. I scalded myself, that's all.
Well, let me see. These minor burns can be painful.
No, it's all right, Uncle Chris.
No, I only wanted...
I tell you, it's all right.
Tea, Simon?
Yes, thanks. Two sugars, please.
Manders, how many?
Oh, thanks. No sugar. I'm a diabetic. I think I'll do as you suggested, Simon. Slip down to the station and see if she's there.
Hmm. What's the rush? Drink your tea first and relax. She'll wait.
I wonder. Now, look, if you'll excuse me, I'll go and put some other clothes on. I wish I could make out what... never mind. I'll see you later.
Oh. There goes an undecided man. You know, I think I'll wake Amelia and give her this cup of tea while it's still warm.
You were splendid.
Don't rub it in. I know I made a hash of it.
Doesn't matter. He's going to the station to pick her up. It's our chance.
Going to the station?
Yeah, I suggested it to him. I know you didn't get round to mentioning the station, but it didn't matter because I did. He believed it implicitly.
Believed what?
The phone call.
I never made that call.
You what? What are you saying? You did.
I tell you, I didn't. I couldn't because the study door was locked. At first I thought it was stuck, but it wasn't. I waited. There was nothing I could do, so I finally came back in here.
But Amanda spoke to you. If it wasn't you, then who was it?
It must have been Lydia.
No, it's impossible. She couldn't possibly have recovered. I know.
How do you know? Why are you so sure?
Because she didn't die from a blow on the head.
But you tell me that...
I know what I told you. It wasn't true, that's all. She didn't die from any accidental blow. I killed her. Deliberately killed her. I don't know what's got into me. Just told myself I went mad, that's all. She taunted me about not being a man. And she told me she wasn't going to divorce me, and she informed me that I would have to accept the child she was having as my own. I think that's what did it. I picked up a cushion and I smothered her. Then you came in and I couldn't tell you what I'd done, so I pretended it was an accident. Now you know everything.
Oh, good.
Since Manders is taking himself off to the station, I thought we might perhaps make up before a bridge, huh?
I'm not in the mood right now.
No.
Well, I feel a lot better now after that little nap. Is there any more tea left? I could do with another cup.
Well, I think so.
I woke up once or twice. Have you ever had the experience of being on the fringe of sleep, Lois, and you see something or hear something? It's like an echo of real life, distorted a little or out of perspective, but there it is, and you don't know whether you dreamt it or whether you actually saw it.
Well, my dear, now I have a tea.
Well, I felt like that this afternoon.
How do you mean?
I don't know what time it was, but I woke up, or rather I think I woke up, and there, passing by outside my window, I saw you.
Me?
Well, I thought it was you. It looked like you. You passed by my window and you went on round the house. I remember thinking hastily, now, what is Lois doing out in the snow? She'll catch her death of cold.
But I've been here all the time.
I dare say. They always say that dreams go contrary-wise. So I suppose that's it. But I could have sworn it was you. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
That's very interesting. Very interesting.
Isn't it? I still don't know whether I dreamed it or not. But of course, if you say it wasn't you, then I must have dreamed it, I suppose.
Mm. Oh, hello, Stuart. I hear that Lydia phoned you.
Yes, she did. Well, I think she never said where she was calling from.
No.
Simon thinks it might be at the station, so I'm going down to see if she's there.
Mm.
She is there. I'll give you a call to let you know.
Oh, thank you.
I hope the car starts.
Well, if it doesn't, you can borrow mine.
Thanks.
I think I'll nip down to the village for some cigarettes before it's too late.
Will they be open?
Oh, heavens, yes. Not the front door, then the back.
You should have asked Stuart. No point in two of you going herring around the countryside.
No, he's gone to the station. It's a different direction. Quite out of his way.
Be sure to wrap up warmly, Simon.
Yes, I will.
Now, what about a hand of cards, anybody? What do you say, Lois?
Love to, Uncle Chris.
Well, there's only three of us there.
Oh, two of you. I'm going to clear these tea things away.
I'm sorry. Let me help you.
No, my dear. I can manage.
Now then, let's split the pack, shall we? Save shuffling. And like a game of cards to take your mind off your troubles. Now, here we are. Three on a king, my dear. You're not paying attention.
Sorry.
That's yours, Lois. They're yours. Pick them up.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, lead.
Your lead, isn't it?
No, it's yours. You won.
Oh, yes. I didn't hear the car.
What's that?
I didn't hear Simon start the car.
Oh, the engine's cold, I dare say.
Oh, perhaps I'd better just go and see if he needs a hand.
I can see your mind's not on the game. Off you go, then. I think I'll just go and give Amelia a hand with the tea things.
Simon, what is it? Wouldn't the car start?
I don't know. I didn't try it.
Why not, Simon? Simon, why not?
Because it wasn't necessary. You see, Lydia wasn't there.
Wasn't there?
I went outside, and after making sure that no one was looking, I dug into the snowdrift. There's nothing more to tell. Lydia wasn't there, that's all.
And it's true. I was right all the time. She's alive.
Either that or someone moved the body. Why? Why should they do that?
No one did. She's alive, as I said. You didn't kill her, Simon. Oh, Simon, you didn't kill her.
We can't be sure of that, can we? I mean, we may be wrong about her still being alive, might we?
The phone call. It was her voice. Simon, that's proof enough. She made that call. It must have been coincidence that she got through just then. Oh, Simon, I'm so happy. You didn't kill her. You only thought you did.
If it wasn't you on the... Then...
Lois, what a relief. I can't get the idea through my head. She's not dead. I'm not guilty. It's as if the whole world had been on my shoulders and someone had suddenly come along and lifted it without warning. I feel light, light as a feather.
Me too. Oh, Simon, I'm happy. Happier than I've been in the whole of my life.
It's wonderful.
Wonderful.
To be alive. Oh, my darling.
You said he'd ring.
Yes, so he did. Better answer it, I suppose. Hello. Yes, speaking.
Darling, let's go right away from here. Let's go to Italy. Say you will.
Yes, yes. Yes, I'll come down right away.
Simon, what's the matter? What is it?
It's Lydia. They've found her. She's dead.
The body of Lydia Appleby, famous West End actress, was found here today on the little railway line that runs Khedivra to Kerbre. It was discovered lying half on and half off the track by a railway official inspecting the section for a possible blockage of the line by snow. It is presumed she met her death through being struck by a train. I'll get started on that article immediately. What? Something like, I knew Lydia Appleby by Stuart Manders. Yeah. Anything new comes in, I'll call you. Bye.
Trifle callous, aren't you?
No, merely professional. Story's a story, and if I don't get my name on it, somebody else will.
Seems a pretty odd way to repay Simon's hospitality by smearing his name all over the papers.
Oh, sure, I feel guilty about it, but what am I to do? I need the money. You know, Lois, things haven't been as good as they might be for me lately. That's the reason why I've got to make the most of this. Just might put me back on the beam again.
Simon? Oh, it's you, Uncle Chris. Where's Simon? Didn't he come back with you?
Well, no. No, he'll follow later.
But how can he? He'll have to walk, won't he? You've used the car.
I wouldn't worry about that. They'll be bound to give him a lift when they're through.
Really? What do you mean?
The police.
Police? You mean they suspect Simon might have... But it was an accident, wasn't it? Oh, Uncle Chris, if you know anything, please don't keep it from me. Do you understand? I've got to know the worst.
They think Simon killed his wife. Of course, it's a lot of nonsense, but that's what they believe.
Is Simon's position very serious?
As you ask me, it's very serious indeed. Why did he conceal the fact that Lydia had been here last night?
Was she?
You knew, didn't you?
Didn't you? Yes. Yes, I knew. Hmm. That must be Simon now. Look, Uncle Chris, I'd very much like to talk to him alone, if you wouldn't mind.
Not in the least. I'll bring Amelia up to date on how things stand, shall I?
Yes, yes, do please. It won't help to keep her in the dark.
If either Simon or you has anything to say to me later on, I'd like you to know it'll be regarded as private and confidential.
I don't think so, but thank you, Uncle Chris. I'll remember.
Well, it's all over by the shouting. They're pretty sure I'm their man.
Oh, Simon. Is it as bad as that? Then why didn't they arrest you?
They will. Give them a little time to verify a few things. They'll have to hold a post-mortem first to ascertain the exact cause of death. And when they know that, they'll come straight to me.
But why you? You didn't put her on the railway line.
No, but I killed her. There's no getting away from that. Whoever moved the body onto the line may have been trying to do me a good turn, for all I know. Trying to cover up for me. But who would do such a thing? Why? It's senseless.
Could it be that someone wanted to make sure you'd be arrested?
No. I thought of that. It doesn't make any sense either. If whoever moved her wanted me charged, all he'd have to do is ring up the police when he found the body. There has to be another reason.
You think someone might be covering up for you? Why?
It's mad, but what other explanation is there? If she'd been struck by a train, well, who knows? The whole thing might have been passed off as an accident. Doesn't sound as if they wanted to make me look guilty, does it?
You don't suppose... Stu Manders could have had a hand in it. Putting him on the track, I mean.
Manders? Why on earth should he?
Has he loved Lydia?
You mean he found her?
No. No, that won't do, will it? As you said, if he wanted revenge, all he'd have to do is lift the telephone and ask for the police.
Police?
Dear, it's a vicious circle, isn't it?
Is this true, Simon? What Chris has just been telling me, that you're in danger of being arrested for Lydia's murder?
That isn't quite what I said, Amelia.
Oh, yes, it's true.
The whole thing is ridiculous. Simon hasn't been anywhere near Lydia for months.
I saw her last night, as a matter of fact, before you came.
What? But you didn't mention a word of this to us.
We had a round. She left, that's all.
Oh, Simon, you've got to tell us what happened last night, from the moment that Lydia got here to the time she left.
Is that so very important? After all, she was still alive early this afternoon, otherwise she couldn't possibly have phoned Simon.
That phone call wasn't a real one.
Oh?
You see, Simon arranged to be given an alarm call by the operator. He wanted to get rid of Manders. He thought if Lydia phoned him, he'd pack up and go. I was to use the extension in the study, but it didn't work out as we planned. When the time came, I couldn't get into the study. It was locked.
Then who did Stuart speak to?
I don't know.
Lydia, of course.
I just don't know.
Who else?
It couldn't have been. Couldn't have been Lydia. If it was a fake, as Lois said...
Well, the lines must have got crossed, that's all.
But it couldn't have been Lydia because she was...
Because she was already dead by then. Is that what you're going to say, Lois?
Tell them, Lois. If you don't, I will.
Simon, no.
I killed her. That's what you want to know, isn't it?
Oh.
Was it an accident?
The police won't call it that. I'm sorry. Oh. I seem to have made a first-class mess of everything. My life, marriage.
What are you up to?
I'm going to phone the police and turn myself in.
No, Simon, no, you mustn't do that. We'll find a way out. She was worthless, you know.
She was a human being.
Yes.
It's true she hurt me in many ways, but I have no right to act as I did.
Now, Simon, wait.
Until I'm arrested? Wait until I'm arrested, is that it?
A man is innocent until proven guilty. That is the law's job, you know. Why not let them do it?
Please, Simon, for my sake.
Well... What shall we do till the police come for me? Make up a four at bridge?
Well, I'll wash up. I must do something. I just can't sit still doing nothing.
I'll come with you.
Simon, I'm old and not much use, but if I can help in any way... Yeah, Amelia was right, you know. Lydia was worthless. You are not. Why don't you let us try and work something out, perhaps between us?
No, 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 please. I've done all I'm going to do.
It's last night that's so important, isn't it? We could say that Lydia was here when we arrived, and she left shortly afterwards.
And Manders, would he swear to that, too?
Yes, I forgot Manders.
Give a dog a bad name, and everybody's bound to start using it. Did I hear mine mentioned?
If you were listening, you may have. Well, I'll go and see how Lois and Amelia are getting on.
I wasn't, you know.
What's that?
Listening.
Oh, you surprised me.
You acquire a shell of iron in this business. You have to or you're out. And yet the right kind of publicity can do an awful lot to influence public opinion. Juries start off as ordinary members of the public.
Exactly what are you driving at?
Let's face it, Lydia's dead and she was hardly the suicidal type. So what does that leave?
You have it all worked out, I see.
Nope. There are a few soggy patches I'd like to see filled in for my own benefit, purely.
And you think I can help you? Frankly, aren't you overestimating my knowledge of how she comes to be on the railway track?
No, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, that doesn't worry me at all. See, I put her there.
What? Are you serious?
I don't think I'd joke about a thing like that.
But why? Why did you do it?
For what reason? Say, I thought you might be grateful if the whole thing turned out to be, or was written off as, an accident.
I think I'm beginning to understand.
Good. You see... I located her the night we arrived. Forgive my saying so, but the guy who did this wasn't a killer by nature. In fact, he made rather a hash of it. I was a crime reporter on one of the big dailies for a couple of years, and you gain a certain insight into the mind of the criminal type. Murdering anyone is a job for an expert. It takes practice. That's the drawback of being an amateur. You don't gain the necessary experience. Consequently, you make mistakes. Now, this fellow who killed Lydia, he made a couple of errors.
Oh, really? What, for instance?
The one was he did the deed on impulse. Not that improvisation isn't all right in its place, but it means you're liable to be pressed for time and to forget things. In this case, a compact. A small thing in itself, but it started me off, and another thing sprang to my attention, which I might have ignored.
What was so odd about finding a compact which belonged to and was claimed by its owner?
Oh, yes. Lois claimed it, didn't she? Only trouble about that is... I bought that particular compact a fortnight previously and had Lydia's initial put on it.
What?
Naturally, once my eyes were open, I kept them open. And then what happens? The girl faints for no reason. Now, I ask you, why should an ordinary, perfectly healthy young lady faint when Miss Amelia sees her own face reflected in the glass? It made me think, I can tell you.
Then I took a deco for myself later on when the lights were out, and what do I find? Guess.
What did you do?
Nothing I could do for her. I went back to bed and left her there. Besides, I wanted time to think. I asked myself, should I turn the guy in? And I answered myself, no, sir. Lydia's dead as a doornail. Now, let's face it. She may have been a lot of laughs when she was alive, but now who cares?
Obviously, you, least of all. Just a moment, though. You found her dead last night? And how do you account for the fact that you spoke with her on the phone this afternoon?
Well, let's say I played along and pretended to. I didn't like to spoil your little plan. There was no one on the other end.
I see. When did you move the body?
You insisted on my going down to the station to meet a non-existent Lydia. So I said to myself, why should he want me to do a thing like that? And then it clicked. I thought, he wants me out of the way so he can dump her somewhere where nobody's looking. And if he does that, he's bound to get in a fix being an amateur. So then I thought, seeing as how I've got to go down to the station anyway, why not take her with me?
Look, let's put our cards on the table, shall we? Just what do you want from me?
Money. Lots of it, and continuously.
For what? The police are on the point of arresting me anyway.
I can't prove a thing, not as long as I'll swear we were here together with Lydia and that she left shortly afterwards. You'd better hurry and make up your mind. The police will be here very shortly.
Uncle Chris? Uncle Media? Lois? Come in here.
Hello, what is it?
Tell us.
Manders has something to say. To be brief, he proposes that I should pay him to keep his mouth shut.
Oh.
In return for that, he'll help manufacture an alibi for me. He'll swear that Lydia was here when you all arrived last night and left shortly afterwards. Well, what do you say?
Can we trust him?
Oh, yes. Yes, do it, Simon. Agree.
Is that what you want, all of you?
Well, of course.
Very well, Mantis. You've won.
I thought you'd see it my way. Now, let's see. The time to be covered is last night and this afternoon.
Hello? Yes. Yes, he's here. It's for you, Manders.
Yeah, thanks. Must be the paper. Manders speaking. Hello, who's that? Oh, you, Joe. I didn't recognize your voice. What is it? On the early train? A photographer? Yeah, okay, I'll meet him. No, nothing new as yet. What? Huh? What was she wearing? Hold on, I'll find out. What jewelry had she on when they found her?
How do I know?
Well, you saw her body at the police station.
Oh, I can't remember exactly. Earrings, I think. Yes, dangly ones, green jade. And a slave bracelet. Nothing else.
Oh, thanks. Green jade earrings and a slave bangle is the lot, Joe.
Oh, there was one other piece. She wore a medal round her neck.
That's not important. Look, let's get back to
just one second. Wait a minute. What sort of a medal was she wearing about her neck?
St. Christopher? Why?
Very interesting.
Now that you're happy, can we get on with
this? No hurry, Mr. Manders. You know, an odd thing has just struck me. You're not the blackmailing type. Ever since Simon said that you're willing to shield him for money, it's been niggling me.
How do you know what type I am? Only a fool doesn't like money.
Manders, in this very room, you produced a St. Christopher medal, which you said you'd found in the snow. Where is it now?
In my room. I'll get it.
Exactly where in your room?
How should I know? In one of my pockets, I guess.
Amelia, you see if you can find it.
Yes, but...
Now, please do as I ask. Now, Manders, where and when did you find Lydia?
In the snowdrift last night, after you'd all turned in.
In the snowdrift, I see. She was dead?
There was a doornail.
So after you found her, you didn't touch her again?
Except to place her on the railway track, no.
And that was?
Late this afternoon.
You and Lydia were good friends, yet you didn't go to the police. Why not?
I couldn't bring her back to life again, could I? And I don't like the police. Never have. Besides, I thought there was a chance of cashing in on it. That's why I hung
up. Now, Manders, you've given us a reason for your actions, but it doesn't accord with the facts.
What facts?
The fact that early this afternoon you fired bullets into the snowdrift. Yet Lydia, when found, had not been injured in any way.
So what? I probably missed.
Oh, no, you didn't miss. I saw you myself.
What are you getting at?
Wait. Oh, Amelia, did you find it?
It wasn't there.
Oh, you couldn't have looked. Look, I'll find it.
I think you'd better stay where you are.
What is it? Some kind of a joke?
No, no joke. On the contrary, a very serious matter indeed. I accuse you of being the cause of Lydia's death.
You're mad.
Am I? Now listen. One, no bullet wounds. Therefore, you lied when you said you left her in the snowdrift. Two, the medal round her neck, which was in your possession this afternoon, showing you had recent contact with her. And three, you talked to her on the phone this afternoon.
Yes, but that...
Four, Amelia sees Lydia pass her window immediately prior to the phone call, and she mistakes her for Lois.
Yes.
What are you getting at?
Lydia was alive early this afternoon. She probably heard Simon and Lois arrange that phone call and decided to cut in. She went round the outside of the house, past Amelia's window, in by the hall door using her own key, and used the extension as Simon had planned for Lois to do.
That's a lot of nonsense. How can you know that?
Because when you spoke to her on the phone, you were both surprised and annoyed to find her on the line. You reacted violently. You didn't know where she was phoning from. Immediately afterwards, you went to see for yourself where she'd got to.
But where was she hiding?
In his room. Where else? I remember how cold you looked when you returned to this room after unpacking the night you arrived. And I asked if you'd been out in the snow. You denied it, of course, but you had, hadn't you? I suggest what happened was this. After Simon thought he'd killed Lydia, she recovered. Now, Manders was unpacking in his room at the time, and she saw him, knocked on his window, and after hearing her story, they hatched up a neat little scheme to fray Simon's nerves by way of revenge. But to succeed, they had to make it look as if Lydia was still in the snowdrift. Consequently, Manders had to climb out and remove any signs of her return to life. Lydia gave you her compact and her Christopher medal to use in the ward of nerves she planned on Simon, didn't she? The compact worked all right, but no one reacted to the medal, so you gave it back to her.
And that's how she came to have it round her neck when found. But of course...
It doesn't even make sense. The police suspect Simon, so I protect him by manufacturing an alibi for him. Would I do that if I were guilty? Is it likely?
It's likely enough, Mr. Manders. You weren't providing an alibi for Simon. You were creating one for yourself. The Blackmail Act was only a smokescreen to hide the fact. Once you had us all swearing that we were here together and that Lydia left in a taxi for the station, then you were safe. Because you knew we'd never go back on our story later on just for Simon's sake. No matter what facts the post-mortem would bring to light regarding the manner of her death, tell me, Manders, what are you going to find at the post-mortem? What do you think they'll find? What is it that points to you as the culprit? Something that indicates you so clearly that you simply had to make her death look like a train accident?
Well, since you're so bright, you tell me.
Could this have anything to do with it? I found it in his coat pocket.
It's a hypodermic syringe, of course. How very stupid of me. That's it, Amelia. Manders, you're a diabetic. You told us that yourself. You gave Lydia a massive dose of insulin, didn't you? All diabetics take it to counteract the sugar in their blood. Insulin. The one thing that would make the police come directly to you, a diabetic. The only person close to Lydia who had access to it.
Why did you do it, Manders? Why did you kill her?
She told me she was pregnant. Threatened to tell my wife. That would have meant the end of my marriage. Goodbye to the kids. It had to be. I'm not sorry. She's dead. She deserved to die.
When exactly did you...
After that phone call, I went back to my room. She was lying on the bed. As usual, all loused up with alcohol. I gave her back the medal and told her I'd had enough after that phone business. We had a flaming row. I told her I was getting out, that we were through. She'd seen the last of me. And she sneered at me. Told me she was pregnant. Threatened to ruin me with a wife. I guess that's what did it. My kids, I couldn't stand to lose them. Anyhow, suddenly she went out like a light. The alcohol and the cold air outside must have ganged up on her. I knew I'd never get another chance like it. I gave her the lot. I guess that's about it. Forget it. I'll find my own way out.
Doesn't seem right, letting him get away like that.
Not so long ago, you're all for me getting away with it.
Well, that was entirely different. You're not the criminal type.
Yeah? I wonder.
Chris, shouldn't we try to stop him? He's getting away.
He said he'd find his own way out. I think we should leave him alone to do just that.
Oh, Simon. How awful.
There, but for the grace of...
Simon, don't. I wonder what the papers will have to say about it all.
Oh, not much, I shouldn't think. Lover kills mistress, something of the kind.
You make it sound... so common and so ordinary.
That's the tragedy of it, Amelia. It is.
You've just heard Dead on Time by Miles McMahon in this week's edition of Radio Theatre. You heard the starring voices of Dennis Smith, Marjorie Gordon, Michael Mayer, Bruce Anderson, and Diane Appleby. Dead on Time was adapted and produced for radio by Michael Silver. Radio Theatre comes courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.